This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everybody jump! Yes, so we begin. It is Taz of the Moose, Moose and Bogish this morning, as we're coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully. Make sure to go out there and mortgage confidently. Mikey B, Pete the Body across the way. Bogus double dipping. He's got updates. He's sitting in with me for 3 hours. 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 to 6 Pacific. We go right here on CBS Sports Radio, Sirius and XM 206, the app as well. What's up, Bogus? How you doing, brother?
Moosey Moose. Good to see you again.
Good to see you as well. I see you every day, unless you take a day off.
Sorry, I'm just doing some, I got some Taz things to work in here.
Gotcha. Very nice.
Been practicing. I really want to, you know, continue the Taz experience.
Very nice.
When I'm hanging out in his spot.
All right, there you go. Very good. I'm sure that works wonders for your wife. So how are you doing?
Oh, she's asleep. I'm good. You know what? Impressed. Stunned and impressed by the Red Sox.
Yes. I mean, you just heard Joe Castiglione with the call on the Red Sox radio network. Boston certainly went into that series against the Houston Astros, and even though having home field advantage, I think most people thought that the Houston Astros were the better team in the series against the Boston Red Sox, and the defending World Series champs and the ace, the double aces at the top end of that rotation, and Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole, and you know, strengthened up that bullpen with the acquisition of Osuna from the Toronto Blue Jays during the course of the regular season, and guys that are remarkably clutch and showed it last year. And give the Boston Red Sox credit, because they proved over the course of five games that the Houston Astros this year's rendition, the 2018 rendition of the Houston Astros, were just not in the class of the Boston Red Sox, who won 108 games in the regular season. Houston won 103. The Red Sox dispatched to the Yankees rather easily in four games in the divisional series, and they dispatched to the Houston Astros in just five games in the American League Championship Series as they march on to the World Series for the 14th time in their franchise's history and for the first time, as you heard Castiglione mention, since 2013.
We couldn't get them in the World Series. And when they got in the World Series, they didn't win it for forever. And now they have a chance to win. I think this would be the fourth in 15 years. Now we can't keep them out.
Well, yeah, I mean, because, right. Now you can't keep them out. I mean, they're a really good baseball team. I mean, there's, you know, it's frustrating to watch. And I grew up a Yankee fan, as everyone knows, if you listen to this show, since January 2nd, you know. But there is not that hatred or vitriol that maybe that there once was. There is the bitter rivalry. But I do have respect for what the Red Sox do. Cora's a hell of a manager. Betts is some kind of a player. Deaver stepping in this postseason and reclaiming his job at third base and being really, really productive, reinserted by Alex Cora after having what was thought to be a pretty disappointing year this past year, who was expected to be a 30-100 guy, and they fell way short of those numbers. The Boston Red Sox are just a, you know, they're a fantastic, they might not have all the big names left and right, Andrew, but they are a really good baseball team.
Well, and not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but they're going nowhere. Because you've got three young stud outfielders. You mentioned Devers. They're going to go out and spend money when they have to. They're going to make trades when they have to. So they're not, this is not no flash in the pan, which is why it's an issue for the Astros and for the Yankees and for Cleveland. They're all each other's worst enemies, because right now they're four really well-run organizations with the resources to make additions on top of really drafting and signing and developing young players the right way. And you know what? The last time I was here, we were on the verge of the division series. And I think I said out loud that these are four good teams in the American League. All of them are capable of sweeping the other just based on how good they are by themselves. And while we didn't necessarily get sweeps, we did get one. Cleveland got swept in round one. then it was only four games for the Sox and Yankees, and now Boston's made quick work of Houston in this series. I know folks would have wanted more drama out of this, but you know, sometimes I like precision and I like quickness, and the Red Sox.
Really? I mean, you don't want to see more. You didn't want to see a series go six or seven.
Of course,
listen, Boston proves themselves to be the better baseball team, but you'd rather watch a sweep than watch a
riveting
game series.
Not rather. And I would certainly like if there was going to be a game six, and just from an outsider's point of view, a game seven in the NL would be great. So go Brewers, go tonight. But I also have the ability to go, man, that was damn impressive. It's not my preference, but it doesn't because the series went quickly.
Well, you appreciate the precision of it, but as a fan, not having a dog in the fight, not being an Astros fan, not being a Red Sox fan, you certainly would rather see more high pressured, high leverage situations as this series went along, and you never got it. I mean, you never got it. You didn't even get in the game last night.
I mean, that's I don't know if that's fair either. Because seven games, you may have four duds in there and a couple of good ones. Game three of this series was really good. Game two had some drama. I mean, game three ended on a diving catch with the bases loaded. The kid misses it. It's probably a 3-run whatever to end the game, and we got a 2-2 series. And they would change lead four times in game three or five times in game three.
Well, I mean, I don't think this was an all-time great series, though.
No, but it wasn't a complete snooze.
No, it wasn't a snooze. Last night was. I mean, last night was a 4-1 ho-hum Red Sox victory. They jump out on top 4-0, 1-0, then you get the Devers' 3-run home run. That makes it a 4-0 game. Then you get the solo shot by Houston in the bottom half of the seventh inning, and that was pretty much all she wrote. You did not have that high-pressurized situation last night. I get that there were moments. I mean, I would hope that there would be moments in this series where there was competitive baseball. Andrew, you're talking about two teams that won 108 and 103, a combined 211 games in the regular season. The two best teams of the American League in the regular season. I would hope that you would get a couple of moments or a couple of games in this series where they were pretty good. But, I mean, it's still a five-game series nonetheless. I mean, you want to say it was a good or a great five-game series? I don't know if I'd say it was all that memorable of a five-game series outside if you're a Red Sox fan, because you'll remember the two home runs and the nine RBIs all coming with two outs for Jackie Bradley Jr. You'll remember David Price. We'll get to him momentarily and what he was able to do. Kimbrel basically making you, trim your nails down to your cuticles as he came into the game. But I would not necessarily say that this was some great memorable series, because I think the Astros, when the bubble burst, they really burst for them. I think that's what I'm going to remember as well. And for an 18th straight year, we're not going to have a team repeat as Major League champions.
Yeah, your Yankee three-peat remains the last back-to-back winners.
Yes.
I'll make the excuse for the Astros, and it's not the reason why they lost this series, but it's one of the reasons. I mean, Jose Altuve is clearly compromised to the point where he can't play the field, which would have been a bigger issue for them, obviously, had they gotten through this series and got into NL Parks. But when one of your best players is on one leg,
yeah, fair.
I mean, that's tough to overcome. They can't say it, and they won't say it. And, again, it's not just like the overturn call or the non-call in Game 3 wasn't the reason they lost that game. The Red Sox were just better over these five games. But part of the reason why they were better is because Altuve couldn't be Altuve. And that's a shame for the Astros. I always like when teams are as close to full strength as possible.
I don't disagree with you
there. Get out there and just solve things kind of at 100% versus 100%. That was not the case in this series.
No, that was not. And Altuve being banged up certainly hurt the Astros, because he is the straw that stirs the drink and kind of the lightning rod to that Astros lineup. And him not being 100% certainly did hurt. I guess I was a little disappointed when you look at George Springer. I think I was a little bit disappointed. You know, you go up and down the line, Marwin Gonzalez. I mean, Bregman starred in this series. I thought he played really, really well defensively, offensively, too. You mentioned, he could add the game-winning hit if not for the Benintendi catch in left field. I mean, if Benintendi doesn't make that catch, it gets by him, that clears the bases, and the Astros win that game 9-8.
And
we're getting back to Boston for a game six.
And even last night, I mean, baseball just really sucks sometimes when you're on the other side of it. Bregman's the first pitch swinging last night off David Price. An eighth of an inch in the direction on his bat, that's a home run in left field, no doubt. He just missed that one, too, which would have obviously set the tone in a different way last night, and who knows where you go from there. If Price's first pitch is smashed over the fence in left field, what starts going through his head with all his past playoff issues.
You know, but for the Astros, even with the Altuve injury, and I know you're not making, you're giving them that kind of an excuse, this is a disappointing way to end. I mean,
no doubt.
It really is. You were, by all accounts, the better team, the more complete team going into the American League Championship Series. And you lose the series in five games. And Bogish, you lose three straight games at home.
Yeah.
I mean, you come out of Fenway Park with the series not up at a game apiece, and you lose three straight at home to the Boston Red Sox. That is a difficult – I don't care what your excuse is. That is a difficult way for your season to come to an end.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anyone – when that series left Fenway Park, you might have still thought the Red Sox were going to win the series. I don't think anyone thought they were going to win three straight down in Houston.
The Sox, again, are 5-0 on the road. In these playoffs, two wins at Yankee Stadium. Now these three wins in Houston.
How about the fact that they've outscored opponents on the road 40-12?
Yeah, I mean they're just now one of that is the 16-1 game, so that's a tiny, tiny, tiny bit skewed, but the point still remains.
I mean 40-12 is 40-12,
right? But which is why part of me, not to oversimplify things and not to dismiss anything, like sometimes the other guy is just better. I mean, and like that, I don't know, as I'm watching the game last night and thinking about it coming in this morning, I'm not thinking of, man, they actually need to do this or do that or make this change. Obviously, there's always tinkering.
Right.
The catcher position, I think, is something they'll look at. But other than that, like, there's not much wrong with the Houston Astros. Everybody needs more bullpen help, and they certainly had guys in and out and off their roster that were good last year or good earlier this season than weren't now. So there's small stuff. I just think that they ran into the Red Sox, who are just better than them. And maybe it's our fault for dismissing the Red Sox, thinking that the Yankees were going to beat them. And then they were the underdogs in this series, even though they had five more regular season wins. Everything that we thought they couldn't do, which is going to be the reason
why they weren't
going to win, they've done. Maybe this is just about Boston, you know, putting their foot down and going, we were the best team all year long, and we are going to stay that way.
No, you know what? That's a fair point. And, you know, I kind of dismissed Boston going into the postseason. I did not think they were playing peak baseball, and they were able to find it and righted the ship and found it real quick. And then when they got going, they did play in these playoffs like it was the regular season, like it was the 108 win Boston Red Sox in the regular season with a lineup, even though they don't have every single big name, but they do have stars. I mean, with and adding J.D. Martinez in the offseason as well, that this lineup really got going. And when it starts to get going and turn things over, they're really productive. And let's not also forget the job that Cora has done. You know, and Cora was a guy that was well thought of in the coaching circles for a while, whether it be an executive as a GM or as a manager in the dugout. And finally got his opportunity with the Boston Red Sox, can rub you the wrong way with his personality and ruffle some feathers, but Cora did a masterful job in the postseason, because let's also not forget, remember coming out of that first two games against the Yankees up at Fenway Park, who in their right mind actually thought that Cora was going to be able to manage that bullpen, who everyone thought was going to be the great Achilles heel and ultimately the failure of Boston in the American League playoffs? Here they are. I mean, they played nine games to get themselves to the World Series. They beat the Yankees 3-1. They beat the Houston Astros 4-1. And they march on to the World Series for the 14th time in their franchise history. And the Achilles heel never reared its ugly head.
No, and he didn't hesitate to use Porcello out of the bullpen and shuffling things around. Eovaldi gave him the ability to do that. He was ready for David Price at the end of Game 4. Had no hesitation bringing him back yesterday for Game 5. The little lineup tweaks always worked, whether it was Holt or Kinsler.
Well, how about Holt hits for the cycle the next night, Kinsler's in the game, and
right.
Kinsler early on in that game delivers an RBI double.
Right. I mean, everything is just clicking.
That's Game 4 I'm talking about, Yankee series.
Right. Everything is just clicking for them. I mean, just everything that they've done has worked. Even Kimbrel getting to the precipice of disaster a couple of times and finally getting that last out last night. That was strike three to J.D. Martinez. Next pitch, home run. I mean, it just the unit. I tweeted this, and Pete retweeted it because Pete's a good friend. You might not have been on Twitter last night, Moose.
I was not. I don't follow you.
That call, the Betts play in right field, Benintendi's diving catch. the universe right now is on the Red Sox side.
It really is. Here is Cora saying that the Astros, well, going into it, he knew they were the team to beat.
We came here with a chance to go to the World Series. In spring training, everybody knew that they had a great team. That probably the American League has to go through Houston. Mm-hmm. We came here. We won three games, and now we're the American League champions, and we have a chance to win the World Series.
Yeah, and for Major League Baseball, I'm sure they're happy about it as well to an extent. I mean, you get Boston in, you're one victory away from Los Angeles. There's no doubt Fox executives are rooting for L.A. and Boston in the Fall Classic. Sorry, Houston, and sorry, Milwaukee. I mean, it's just the way the case is because they want more eyeballs on the set. But Major League Baseball also does not have to deal with any kind of pushback following the sign-stealing controversy and the quick investigation by Major League Baseball as well, where, you know, you could have easily seen if the Astros lengthen this series out, goes back up to Boston, or if the Astros were able to come back from three games to one down, Bogish, and get themselves back to the Fall Classic, that kind of storyline maybe started to pick up a little bit more steam of just what the Astros were doing. And you might get that now, but people are going to forget about it. People are going to march on. They're going to move on. They're looking ahead to the Fall Classic. It might grab some headlines. You and I might read the story, Taz, and everyone else here on the show. But the fact remains is it's not going to be as big of a talking point because Houston's no longer alive.
It's just a joke now. I mean, now it's a punchline that baseball accepted the, no, we weren't doing anything wrong. We were being police. We were helping you. We were making sure the other guys weren't cheating. When I think it's four teams, the Sox, the Yankees, the Indians, and the A's, who have all at different times this year, whether formally or informally suggested to baseball that the Astros are doing something fishy. Like one time involved them like thumping a garbage can in their dugout with a bat, like in some kind of rhythmic message to batters. They are hand signals. This dude taking pictures of the – but no, apparently it was all for the good of the game. That excuse is
complete utter nonsense. But now that they're no longer in the spotlight, you're not going to be talking about it all that much. I mean, so that for Major League Baseball is a good thing because that's the last thing you want to have them talking about time and time again, especially as you mentioned – the strange way of relaying signs, a garbage can and all. Here's Mookie Betts, the star right fielder for the Red Sox on MLB Network following the win last night.
I mean, it's just step two of our three-step process. I mean, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy that we got to this stage. We haven't done it in the last couple of years, so I'm going to enjoy these few moments.
Here's the Astros manager. We'll play both of them, Pete. Here's A.J. Hinch on the loss last night.
When you fall behind 1-0, you have to fight the anxiousness that comes in a playoff game with being down. When they bust open a really big hit like that, it's a tough one. You know, the things will come out, you know, franchise record wins and, you know, a division championship and things that just aren't common. Like, it's not normal. It's not easy. But it's a pretty hollow feeling when the season abruptly ends the way that it does, in the way that it did.
Yeah, I mean, listen, for the Houston Astros, it's not going to be as long of an offseason because they're still going to look down at their hand and see the World Series ring from a year ago. But the way that it ended is certainly got to be disappointing for the Houston Astros. But the Boston Red Sox were the better baseball team, and now they await the winner of the National League Championship Series. They await the winner, whether it's going to be the Dodgers or whether it's going to be the Brewers. And you know this, I mean, Bogish, the Boston Red Sox, with the way that the Brewers use their bullpen, I know that you're going to get a little bit of time here, but the Boston Red Sox are going to be rooting for this series to go seven.
Yeah, because that would be tonight and tomorrow, right? So you'd have 2 days off then before game one Tuesday in Boston. I think you've mentioned that Dave Wallace is going to be on with us today, a longtime big league pitching coach. I got 1,000 questions about where we're going. I don't know if I like it or not yet, but the Wade Miley move in game five.
So you can just handle the interview. I'll go to the bathroom.
I mean, I can't. I spend way too much time deciding on if this is genius. How far down this road can we go where guys are throwing to one batter and then you're switching to a right-hander because you've messed up the other team's starting lineup? I mean, it's just the brain power being used around baseball to figure out the next advantage is crazy.
It really is, and Wallace is going to be great, and he's going to join myself and you coming up at 7:40 a.m. this morning, 7:40 a.m. Eastern Time, 4:40 Pacific. We're going to chat with Dave Wallace, former pitching coach, and really a tremendous baseball mind. And we'll talk about what transpired in the Houston Red Sox series. We'll look ahead to Game 6 tonight in Milwaukee between the Dodgers and the Brewers and get his feeling vibe about bullpenning in today's day and age of Major League Baseball and just really how you are, for all intents and purposes, not for the star all-time great starting pitcher, but you're trying to de-emphasize the starting rotation. You saw Tampa Bay do it a lot in the regular season. You've seen Milwaukee do it here in the postseason. You saw the Oakland Athletics, to their dismay and failure, do it in the wild card game against the Yankees. So sometimes it's successful, sometimes it's not. But for the Boston Red Sox, they march on to the World Series, and rightfully so. It is Melusis, it is Bogish, it is Taz and the Moose. Taz is off here on this Friday morning. We're taking you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 Pacific. Dave Wallace will join us later on the program, as we just mentioned. We got college picks. We've got NFL picks. A lot going on this action-packed football Friday. Keep it locked right here, CBS Sports Radio. Hey, sports fans, football. And football season's here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie.net. MyBookie.net is the industry-leading sports action website that offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, and all your favorite sporting events. You can take a side, predict scores, or track player props. MyBookie.net lets you play without cash or other purchases. Use promo code ENDZONE, ENDZONE, when you register for your account and get a 100% sign-up bonus. Did the game already kick off? Don't sweat it. MyBookie.net has in-game live action on every major league event, even esports. There's no better time to join MyBookie.net than today. Go to MyBookie.net to open an account and join in on all the action. Use promo code ENDZONE, ENDZONE, when you register for your account and get a 100% sign-up bonus. Signing up is easy, and you'll have access to your own personal dashboard. That's MyBookie.net, promo code ENDZONE. No deposit is necessary. Terms and conditions apply. For entertainment purposes only. Void where prohibited.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. Good Friday to one and all. Melusis Bogish with you. Taz has this Friday morning off, well-deserved. He has the extended three-day break for himself, so good for him. We've got college picks, and Taz will have his selections. Bogish will be picking some Colonial games later on this morning. Is that right?
No, we're going to go straight. We're going to go straight FBS games today.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised by that. Not your specialty.
Yeah, I didn't have the strength to go full-on clever last night. So I just try to make smart picks about mainstream games.
Or you just forgot we were doing college picks today.
No, I've got picks written down. I'll show you in my notes that I've got them. I didn't come up with anything remotely clever last night.
I gotcha. Well,
smells like toast. You guys smell toast? That's a Taz thing, too.
I do. Okay. Yes, I do smell toast. Yeah, I think someone's making some toast in the kitchenette. Good for them.
Never for us, though.
No. Well, you want some toast made by somebody else? I'll pass.
I just want...
No idea where that
bread
was.
Our breakfast staff to make us something that smells good.
Listen, this place isn't exactly the cleanliest. Have you seen the bathrooms?
Have you seen the microphones we talk into?
Yes. This microphone I just replaced. I bring in my own head cover on the microphone. The one that's replaced has basically a sheen to it. That clearly, I think someone maybe ate a full meal and then spoke into the microphone.
Disgusting. I would accept that as the reason for why the microphone.
Secondly, come in here, take a picture of this and tweet it out. This is the microphone head cover I came in. It's disgusting.
You know, speaking of this place and its beauty, one of our colleagues on the WFAN side here locally in New York found out this week that he actually now brings in his own toilet paper because sometimes there isn't any. But more significantly, it's not comfortable, the kind of...
Well, it's one ply.
Right. And it's really at times difficult to get it out of the dispenser here because they have like two economy size rolls, because it's for a lot of people, obviously. And the top one sits on the bottom one in the little holder.
Yeah.
So when you pull the bottom one out, and you have to fight the top one, and it's one ply, it rips easy. So you can have like eight grabs and have like four shards of toilet paper, which are not obviously helpful. So this dude's bringing in his own two-ply.
Wait, who's walking in? Just give me a name. Who's walking in with their own toilet paper?
The same guy that rides his bike here and
Evan Roberts brings in his own toilet paper?
Yeah. Yeah.
He brings in his own toilet paper?
Yeah.
So when he's leaving his office, he puts a roll of toilet paper under his arm and he heads to the men's room.
I'm not sure how he carries it from his office to the bathroom.
Well, that's embarrassing. Imagine then you meet, then you see like a boss or program director in the hallway,
or
and you're
sponsor.
Holding a, well, or you right, and you're walking to the men's room, and you've got a roll of toilet paper in your hands.
Yeah.
Is they obviously know you're about to go down and do some business. The other thing that hits you here is we've discussed this at the time. There's a lot of angry people here because I don't know. What you do at your own homestead, but if you do this, God bless. There's a lot of people that relieve themselves and then decide not to flush the toilet.
Yeah, which is an interesting decision.
Which is awful.
Right.
Or
they don't, or their aim is off,
yes,
which is another
which
thing.
I don't understand.
No. Like,
I was telling somebody, I think it was Recco who works on the Boomer and Geo show. I believe it was him I was telling this story. I don't understand to where you hold it off to the point where you're running into the bathroom and you could possibly miss aim. Like, who, like, if you've got to go, just go.
Right. And when you're sitting down.
Am I wrong on this?
No. When you're sitting down, like, it's a pretty easy target to hit.
You would think.
People are, it's going all over the place. And it almost seems like you're doing it on purpose to send a message to the rest of us about this anger that.
Well,
yes,
there
to
are.
Notice.
And I didn't put it two and two together until Bogus said that. I was like, who does this? He's like, people are angry. angry?
Come on, man.
They're trying to show their discord, their discontent at the workplace. I go, I don't understand that. I mean, come on. Just have respect for your fellow human being.
Nah.
Fellow man.
Well,
I still can't believe I want a picture. Biseglia, can you see it? Can you take a picture of Evan when he's leaving his office holding the roll of toilet paper? And can you tweet that out to the Taz and Moose fandom?
Yeah, what time does he come in usually? Like 8:30
Eastern? Yes. No, he comes in earlier now to beat traffic.
Like about 7:45.
Yeah, he'll be here within an hour. one last tale from the newsroom about angry people. So you've introduced Zach Martin,
yes.
Our production voice, to the audience.
The voice of the three.
Trash. His colleague in the production.
Paul R. Zuman
might be the angriest guy I've ever met. The other day, he comes out of his office. He's talking to nobody except himself, his demons. I don't know what's going on, but someone took his chair out of his office.
I saw that. It was steaming.
I'm going to find it. I'm going to find you. How dare you do this to me? I'm like, now I get it. I'm possessive about my chair, my computer, my pen. So I get wanting my own things. But he was ready to hurt someone legitimately.
It's his chair.
Right.
He's comfy. He's cozy. He didn't feel like sitting in the chair with the one arm.
But go in the bathroom and do something on the floor. Don't walk around here scaring little old me that I might be like an innocent bystander.
Scared. You were there watching some game on your iPad.
I actually was
soccer match.
I actually was checking my seat to make sure I didn't accidentally have his. That like somebody before me over the weekend had taken it and left it there, and I'm just sitting in it by accident because I didn't want him to kill me.
Mm.
And then once I realized it was not his seat,
see,
then we
he's
were
more,
good.
He's bigger. He's more bark than bite.
If you say so, but
he is. I've known Art Zuman for a long. I've known Art Zuman. Probably ever since I started working here.
It was uncomfortable.
I shouldn't say CBS Sports Radio. I've known Art Zuman probably 20 years. At least, I mean, 15 at least.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, he's more bark than bite. He's actually a good guy.
I'm not
he is a good guy.
You.
But just don't take his stuff.
I'm not even going to go in his room ever.
No, don't go in his room. Don't take his stuff.
Finito.
Yes.
Look at him.
Take it away, Andrew.
This report is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Apparently, David Price just playing possum in the playoffs until last night in Houston.
Nothing in two to Jose Altuve. Left-hander out of Vanderbilt comes to the set. He delivers. Swing and a miss. He chased the changeup down and away. That's strikeout number 9 in 6 scoreless innings for David Price.
Joe Castiglione on Red Sox Radio. That was Price's final pitch of Game 5 of the ALCS. 6 innings, no runs, 3 hits, no walks, 9 Ks. J.D. Martinez and Rafael Devers took Justin Verlander yard, and the Sox are AL champs with a 4-1 win in Houston. Series MVP Jackie Bradley Jr. thought Price had this in him.
The way he's battled through and, you know, the whole postseason talk, this and that, I think it really shows the determination and the competitor that's inside of him.
And now Price and Chris Sale and the bullpen can rest up for Game 1 of the World Series, not until Tuesday at Fenway. The Dodgers can join the Sox in the Fall Classic. Game 6 of the NLCS in Milwaukee, 7:39 Central tonight. Hyunjin Ryu starts for L.A. Wade Miley for Milwaukee. Again, Josh Rosen picked off again and again and again last night with
LeBron. That game was awful.
Goes in town for Thursday Night Football.
Denver will bring 6. Rosen, quick throw. Ball will be intercepted. Chris Harris Jr., 45-40. Chris is on the loose. 30, 25, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Denver!
If you hadn't already stopped watching, you could at that point. Dave Logan, Broncos Radio. Chris Harris following Todd Davis with a first quarter pick 6. 45-10, the final in Arizona. The Broncos emphatically snapping their 4-game skid.
Game was unwatchable.
5 turnovers total for Cardinals rookie QB Josh Rosen.
Played
3
well,
picks,
though.
2 fumbles, and 6 sacks. Aside from that, I thought he was good.
I thought he threw a couple nice outs.
The Cowboys were busy yesterday. The offense holding a meeting to discuss their issues on the road. 3 games outside Dallas, 37 points scored total. Dallas in Washington on Sunday. And wideout Terrence Williams receiving a 3-game suspension for a substance abuse policy violation. Williams was charged with misdemeanor public intoxication after crashing his Lamborghini in August. But that charge was dropped because Williams entered an alcohol awareness program. And an extra bonus for him, he can serve his 3-game suspension while being on IR with a foot injury. LeBron James, 26 points and a loss to start his Laker career. 128-119, the final in Portland. The Blazers win their 18th straight home opener, extending their own NBA record.
I mean, good for Portland. And I know people were, just ecstatic to see LeBron in a Laker uniform last night. I mean, they just couldn't. You hopped on social media. It was like, here he comes, stepping onto the court. And then the tomahawk dunk on his first bucket and the 2 dunks early on for LeBron James. Everyone's celebrating as he's wearing the shorts. Like, you've never seen LeBron before. Now everyone's a Laker fan. I mean, it's amazing. Now everyone's a Laker fan. And LeBron's fantastic. I'm not knocking LeBron. I love watching him play. And I still think, for my money, he's behind Michael Bogish. But last night was a holiday. And around what, that game got going about 10:30, I think it was.
You're asking the wrong dude.
Yeah, 10:30 last night. There was a celebration when LeBron hit the court. Like people have never seen James play before. And like, he was putting on put the Laker uniform on officially for the first time in the regular season. People couldn't get enough.
It's weird.
It's amazing.
I'm the best player in the world.
Yeah, thank you, LeBron.
It's weird. I don't like it. He can move all around all he wants, and that's not the issue. It's just weird with him in a Laker uniform.
Well,
I'll get used to it eventually, but not yet.
Well, you're going to get it right, but I mean, now you need to see it. I mean, now you need to see him go to Los Angeles and the Lakers and the victor go to the sport. The Lakers, I saw someone, the Lakers did nothing aside from being in Los Angeles and having Magic Johnson and their history. But as an organization, as a team, to set themselves up, aside from being a terribly run basketball team, to get themselves LeBron.
Yeah.
They happen to be in the right city.
Right.
He wanted to live out west. He's got a home. They've got the history. But you're not going to look at it. He's not going there just because. He's going there more so based on the location and the history of the organization than he is saying, you know what, I've got to play with Ball and Ingram for the next 6 years of my life.
I need me some LeVar Ball.
Yeah, but let's be realistic. That's it.
But our Mikey B, one of the first things he said to me this morning was, man, this sucked with LeBron on the Lakers because I would have liked to see this last night, but I'm not staying up until 10:30 plus. So Mikey B's one of the guys now.
Well, but not a lot of people in the race. Well, there will be people that do it, but not a lot. Not the same percentage. A lot of his games are going to get buried. You're not going to be sitting up there at 10:30 on a Wednesday night watching the Lakers take on the Memphis Grizzlies. You're not going to be doing that.
A lot of good plays on that Grizzly team.
You're not going to be doing that.
Wait, I know Mike Conley.
You got to get up early. We're not doing that. We got to get up early. We got to be here ready to do a show 6 a.m. sharp Eastern time. You're not going to do that if you got a big-time job. No.
I got Mike Conley. I got Marc Gasol. Who else is on the Grizzlies right now?
Conley, Gasol...
And who's their head coach?
Their head coach. Who is their head coach?
It's not, I got nothing.
Oh, well, yeah. If you're going to ask a question, you got to know the answer.
No, I'm asking because I don't know. It's not Josh Pastner.
J.B. Bickerstaff.
J.B.
Bickerstaff.
Oh, I should have known that. It's my favorite name.
Knew that.
Yeah.
Way to kill the segment.
He knew it.
855-212.
You got a third Grizzly?
No, we're done with the segment. 855-212-4227. We've got college picks to get to. I don't think name the Grizzly is going to get us home here, Bogish, on a Friday morning. Do you?
It's going to get me through this next break.
I'm sure it will.
When I laugh at the rest of this roster.
I'm sure it will. College picks come your way next. Myself, Bogish, Taz as well, right here on this Friday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
College football scores, highlights, and more with Rich Ackerman and I on College Football. Be listening tomorrow at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's Toll-Free Live brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance. Time right now to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question. Be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. It is that time. We are at week 8 of the college football season. Amazingly enough, 2 months in almost. Let's get to it. Some college picks.
The Taz and Moose picks are for fun only. This is not for gambling purposes, just some chuckles and a good time. Enjoy the Taz and Moose picks now. Listen irresponsibly.
It's now time for the Taz and Moose College Football Picks. The three picks you need to know.
All right, Mikey B, records, please. Records, records, records.
Moose, you are 12-9.
12-9?
12-9.
12-9?
1-2 last week.
Okay.
Taz is 7-13-1, a robust 0-3 last week.
All right, Taz, 7-13-1, 0-3 a week ago. I'm 12-9, 1-2 a week ago. So we've got to pick it up this week. All right, game one for me. We'll start high noon, East Lansing, Michigan. You've got 6th-ranked Michigan on the road taking on the Spartans of Michigan State, 24th in the nation. Michigan coming off the daylight victory a week ago at home against Wisconsin. The spread is 7. I'm going to take the Spartans. I'm going to take the 7 points. I think Michigan wins a game. I think it's close. I don't think it's going to end up being a blowout. The Michigan offense has been inconsistent this year. Michigan State has been inconsistent this year. But they're home. It's a rivalry game. It's a touchdown spread. I think Michigan wins. I hate doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I think Michigan wins, but Michigan State covers. So give me the Spartans plus 7. That's pick one for me. Bogish?
I'm going to suck up, Moose, and say all of those same things are true. I'm taking the Spartans and plus 7.
Oh, we're in agreement.
There we go.
There we go. All right, Taz, what say you?
Saturday, 12 p.m. Eastern, the number 9-ranked Oklahoma Sooners head to Fort Worth, Texas to play the Horned Frogs of TCU. The Horned Frogs are the home dog. They are plus 8. What's going to happen in this deal? Well, I'm fixing to tell you. Kyler Murray, the esteemed QB for the Oklahoma Sooners, will have a great game. The Oklahoma Sooners will cover. They will cover big. The TCU Horned Frogs have an excellent quarterback, sophomore, who is still trying to get his sea legs under him, but he's very talented. I can assure you that. Horned Frogs coach Gary Patterson, he's always prepared, always with his squad. It's not going to be enough against this fired up, inspired Sooners program here. So here I am to tell you, straight up, simple deal. Oklahoma head coach Lincoln Riley will have the Sooners ready to roll. Oklahoma will win by 10. They will cover. They will go to Fort Worth and win. Boomer Sooner, there it is.
All right, so there you go. Oklahoma laying the points, pick number one for Taz. All right, Bogus, pick two for you. Go.
Oh, man, I don't really want to follow that, Moose. No, thank you. Pick number two for me, Colorado at home. Or at Washington, I should say. I can't even read my own handwriting or my own typing. 17 points a lot for the Buffaloes. They're going to lose this game, but they're going to keep it close. I'll take Colorado plus 17 at Washington.
Colorado plus 17 at Washington. All right, pick number two for me. We're going to go to the 3:30 start down at Clemson, South Carolina, as Clemson entertains North Carolina State. Two top 20 programs, NC State, the Wolfpack 5-0, Clemson 6-0. Number three in the land, and the Tigers are 17.5-point favorites. I'm going to lay the points. And the reason why I'm going to lay the points, it's not that I don't have respect for Ryan Finley, the NC State quarterback who's going to be a pro down the line, is that the spread's probably begging you to take North Carolina State. Clemson has not been a margin team for the most part this year, but maybe it's a case of they're starting to ramp things up down at Clemson. I'm going to lay the 17.5. Give me the Clemson Tigers to send a message to the rest of college football and the landscape that that they're rounding into the form that many expect them to show this year. So give me Clemson laying the 17.5. All right, Taz, what say you?
Saturday, 7:30 p.m., simple deal. Vanderbilt versus Kentucky. Oh, you want to see someone run a football? Well, you got to watch my man Benny Snell run the football for Kentucky. The 5-1 Kentucky squad as they play at home in Lexington at Kroger Field, and they dominate. They will dominate big. Big. This Snell can run. He's got a mouthpiece. Real sidebar for you. He's got a mouthpiece that's got a little spindle propeller gimmick on it. He wears it sometimes. It's very funny. The Kentucky Wildcats will cover. Kentucky is minus 11.5. Vanderbilt will get the doors beat off of them in this game. And Kentucky will win by 21 points. Best regards, Taz.
All right, there you go. That's pick two for Taz. All right, third and final selection. We'll begin it with Taz. What say you, brother?
Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern. The Buffs, the Buffaloes of Colorado, they will go to Seattle, Washington to play Washington, number 15th ranked Washington. Washington is minus 16.5. That's a lot of points to give to a Buffalo squad that can play some pretty good football that's sitting 5-1 right now. When I say Buffalo, I meant Buffaloes. You got my point. Colorado's 5-1. Washington is 5-2. Washington is ranked 15th in the country. Washington will not cover in this game. Colorado QB Montez will play great. McMillan will run the ball amok. Speaking of running the ball amok, Gaskins from Washington always plays great. Love this guy. And I love their quarterback Browning at Washington. But I am going to tell you straight Jones right here. Colorado will bring the fight to Washington. Washington will not cover in this game. Give me the Buffaloes with my 16.5. Colorado, Washington doesn't cover.
All right, there you go. Third and final pick for Taz. Third and final one for you, Bogus. Go.
Did he use a security system here to record those
picks? I think he did.
Okay.
I think it was on his phone.
I wanted that Clemson-NC State game. I thought about it for a long time for the reasons that you laid out there, Moose, but I stayed away from it, stayed in the Pac-10. I'm all in on Oregon. I want Justin Herbert to be the Giants quarterback next year. They're getting three, if I'm reading the line correctly. They're getting three at Washington State. They're going to win that game by 10 points, if not more, even at Washington State. Give me the Ducks plus three.
All right, so you're going to go Ducks plus three. I like that. You give that's going to be a 7:30 Eastern time start on Saturday night. My third and final game, we're going to go down to Tiger Stadium, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. As LSU and Mississippi State do battle, the Tigers played very, very well for Ed Orgeron. They're 6-1, fifth-ranked team in the land. They have hopes of maybe trying to get themselves into this playoff, and they're going to need a little help to do it, and they can't afford a loss to Mississippi State. I think they're going to send a message to the Bulldogs as well. They're a 6.5-point spread. If it was over 7, I'd be a little nervous. About 7 in the hook, something of that nature. I feel pretty secure laying the 6.5 with LSU on Saturday at home. That's a 7 o'clock start Saturday night. Burrow, Jefferson, the Tigers. Give me LSU laying the 6.5. So that's pick number 3 for me. Quickly recapping, Bogus, your 3 selections are?
I got Michigan State plus 7.
We agree.
I got Colorado plus 17 and Oregon plus 3.
All right, so we agree on Michigan State. I got Clemson laying the 17.5, LSU laying the 6.5, Taz's selections as well. So there you have it. Week 8 college football coming up straight ahead. Andrew and myself will look ahead to Sunday NFL action, give you a feel about the interesting storylines going into the 7th NFL Sunday. That comes your way next. It's Taz, it's Moose, it's Bogus sitting in on a Friday, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.